Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Everyone, today we're going to be looking at one of the most misunderstood words of the Bible, and that is the word saved. A few years ago, a woman in her 30s was walking on a pedestrian bridge that spans the Kanagawa River in Tokyo. It was about 5:30 a.m. She climbed over the chest-high railing and threw herself into the water below in a suicide attempt. 20 sumo wrestlers happened to be training near the bridge that morning and rushed to rescue the drowning woman. And they were able to pull her out of the water and onto the safety of the dry land. Doctors later reported that the woman suffered no serious injuries. The sumo wrestlers literally saved the woman from a certain death. The word saved is one of the most misunderstood words of the Bible. Maybe you have someone ask you, are you saved? Or do you want to be saved? And before you can answer that question, first, you need to know what it means to be saved. If you are not a Christ follower here today, can I encourage you to open your heart today and listen? Because you're about to hear probably the best news that you will ever hear in your life. If you are a Christian, I definitely want you to lean in because, as I said, this is one of the most misunderstood words of the Bible, and there is a chance that you might not understand this word completely correctly. So, are you ready? Here we go. I want to start from the basics, so we'll be on the same page. As many of you know, our New Testament Bible is written in Greek and our Old Testament, or the Hebrew Bible, is written in Hebrew. The word that's often translated into the English language as save, saved, savior, or salvation, in Hebrew is the word yasha, and in the Greek is the word sozo. Now, the most common understanding that a lot of Christians have with this word saved or salvation is salvation from eternal death, or if you are more positive, salvation unto eternal life. And this would be the right understanding of the word sozo or saved. When Paul and Silas was in jail in the city of Philippi for preaching the gospel, all of a sudden, there was a massive earthquake and all hell broke loose. The Philippian jailer became afraid and asked Paul and Silas a very important question. It's a question that I wish more people would have asked. The Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas' answer is very simple. It's so simple, people think it's too good to be true. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Sozo. Paul and Silas did not say, "Go to church and you will be saved." They did not say, "Read your Bible and you will be saved." They didn't say, "Give your money to the poor and you will be saved." No. They simply said, "Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." It is that simple. Jesus saves. In fact, the name Jesus or Yeshua or Joshua in Hebrew actually literally means God saves or God is salvation. And please don't read into the word believe what is actually not there. Believe does not mean and can never mean commit your life or turn from sin. It simply means that you believe that Jesus can and will fulfill His promise to give you eternal life. If you missed my message on another misunderstood word of the Bible, the word faith, please check out our YouTube channel. So, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I have some really good news for you. Do you know that you don't have to win God over with your good behavior? Do you know that God loves you as you are? If you are anything like me, you know that your life is not perfect. But guess what? So is everybody else's life. None of us is perfect. In fact, the Bible calls it sin. Sin simply means that we live short of the ideal that God has for us. And unfortunately, sin separates us from God. But that doesn't stop God from reaching out to us. You know why? Because God's desire is to spend eternity with us. That's why He became like one of us in the person of Jesus. Jesus is God incarnate. He is like us in every way with one big difference. He was without sin. And yet he felt the full force of sin when he died on the cross, even though he was an innocent man. And his death accomplished something amazing that we cannot do on our own. He actually restored the broken relationship that we have with God, our Heavenly Father, because of his death. And I want to encourage you, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, for your eternal life. And that is a free gift of God for you. But you have to understand that this is actually not the only meaning of the word saved used in the Bible. The word saved does not always mean saved for eternal life. It all depends on the context. You see, words can have multiple meaning. Again, depending on the context. For example, when I say, I left my phone on the left seat of the car. The first left means leaving behind, and the second left indicates the location, left as opposed to right. I left my phone on the left seat of the car. Same word, left, two different meanings. Now, the same is true in the Bible. In both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the word save refers to many types of salvation, and not just salvation to eternal life. In fact, I want to ask you, do you know how many times the word save or salvation in the Old Testament actually refers specifically to salvation to gain eternal life? None. Zero. For the sake of time, I will just tell you two common usage of the word salvation in the Old Testament. Number one, salvation to mean deliverance from enemies. Psalm 18, starting from verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. Call on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies." That's the first usage of the word salvation. Second, salvation is used to mean deliverance from trouble or affliction. Psalm 91, verse 15 says, "When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue or save them and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation." Other common use of salvation is deliverance from captivity. But none of the meaning of salvation in the Old Testament refers to salvation for eternal life. But that's not all. Do you know that in the New Testament, only 3 out of 10 uses of salvation refer to salvation to obtain eternal life? That's only 30%. That means 70% of the time in the New Testament, the words save or salvation do not mean what most people think they mean. They have nothing to do with eternal life. No wonder a lot of people are confused about the condition for eternal life. They think they need to do something to get eternal life when it is really only belief that will obtain you eternal life. Let me give you just one example. Remember when the disciples saw Jesus walking on water at 3 o'clock in the morning in the midst of strong wind and waves? At first, they were really scared, but then they realized it was Jesus. Peter asked Jesus if he too could walk on water. Jesus said, "Why not?" So Peter started to walk on water. And then what happened? Do you remember? Here's what happened. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. My question is, what did Peter mean when he said, "Save me, Lord"? Is he saying, "Take me to heaven? Give me eternal life"? No, of course not. "Save me" here means rescue me from drowning. I hope this will help you so you won't be confused when you read verses like what we found in the book of James, for example. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" People often read this verse and say, "Aha, It is not enough to have faith for our salvation. You need faith plus actions or good works. Well, at first glance, it may seem that way, but we know this is not what it means. Why? Because everywhere else in the New Testament, salvation for eternal life is always by grace through faith. Jesus said so in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not die but have eternal life." Paul said the same thing in Ephesians 2:8-9. "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works. It is the gift of God so that no one can boast." So, what do we make of what James said in James 2:14? Well, it's easy. James wasn't talking about salvation for eternal life. He's talking about how when you don't exercise your faith in your day-to-day living through action, that faith cannot save or rescue or help anybody. How do I know this? Very simple. Look at what he says in the very next verse. This is James 2:14 that we just read. Listen to what he says in the very next verse, in verse 15. "Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do?" I love that. What good does that do? If you don't put your faith into action, that faith cannot save the poor from starving. That faith cannot save your marriage from crumbling, and so on. Look, your eternal life is not affected by your actions here on earth. But guess what? Your lack of actions is going to affect a lot of things in this world. It's going to affect your own life. It's going to affect your ability to help others, your ability to witness, your capacity to be a blessing, to live harmoniously, to fulfill God's purpose for your life, and so on and so on. Now that we got that out of the way, I want to tackle a big, big misunderstanding of the word saved as it relates to specifically eternal life. When the New Testament speaks of salvation in the context of eternal life, there are actually three different aspects to salvation. And when people read the New Testament, they don't understand and they got confused because sometimes salvation unto eternal life is talked about in the past tense, that we are already saved. Sometimes salvation is spoken about in the present tense, we are being saved. And sometimes it's spoken in the future tense, we will be saved. Now, let me show you what I mean. Romans 5:10. "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled," that's past salvation, "to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved," that's future, "through His life?" 1 Corinthians 1:18. "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved," that's present tense, "know it is the very power of God." So, what's going on? Which is it? Is salvation something that happened in the past? We were saved already? Or is it something that's still happening in the present? We are being saved? Or is it something that's still in the future? We will be saved? The answer is, they are all correct. We have been saved in the past already. We are also still being saved right now and it's still in the process. And someday we will be saved in the future. How is that possible? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me explain. You see, in the New Testament, there are three different aspects to salvation: past, present, and future. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are already saved from the penalty of sin. Christ died on your behalf so you don't have to. The wages of sin has been paid in full by Jesus. That's why you can have confidence that you have eternal life. Not because you're good, but because Jesus paid it all for you. But you who believe in Jesus Christ are also still being saved right now. Not from the penalty of sin that's been paid for by Jesus. you are being saved day by day from the power of sin that is controlling your lives. You see, sin is becoming less and less powerful as you trust Jesus more and more. And finally, you will be saved in the future when your life in this world is all over. Again, you're not going to be saved from the penalty of sin because that's done. Not from the power of sin, that's also done. But in the future, this time, you will be freed from the presence of sin as we spend eternity with God forever and ever. If you believe in Jesus, you have been justified, meaning God already declared you righteous because of your faith. Not all your actions are righteous, but status-wise, God declared you righteous in His eyes when you believed. Now that God declared you righteous, the next process of salvation began. Day by day, you are being made more and more righteous to become more and more like your new status, how God sees you. God already sees you righteous. And now God is actually doing the work in your life to make you more and more righteous. Finally, someday, all your actions will be righteous as you spend eternity with God forever. In other words, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you are already in Christ as you are born again. You are already born again. Now you belong to God forever. And now that you are in Christ, in the family of God, the next step is you are being made more and more like Christ every day. That is the present tense of salvation. And finally, you will literally be spending eternity with Christ forever, and that happens in the future. And finally, to be saved from the penalty of sin is free. It costs you nothing. It costs Jesus His life, but it's free for you. You just need to believe. But afterwards, for you to be more and more like Christ is very costly. You need to make some sacrifices in your life. You need to prioritize God and His will over your own preference. Instead of your own will, you choose to do God's will instead. And it takes a while for you to get there. And finally, you will receive your rewards when you finally see Jesus face to face. Do you see now how salvation is not just about getting to heaven? That is just one aspect of salvation. Salvation is not just about being forgiven from our sins, being declared righteous by God. That is absolutely true. But salvation is also about you fulfilling God's purpose for you in this world as His followers. So, let me close by giving you this encouragement. If you're not yet a Christ follower, all you need to do is receive His free gift of salvation, His free gift of forgiveness, His free gift of grace and favor for you. It costs you nothing. It's free. All you need to do is just put your faith in Him, to put your trust in Him, and believe that He really, really cares about you, that Jesus actually died on the cross for you, and you just need to accept that eternal life as a free gift. You are already saved if you do that. If you are a Christ follower, I want you to partner with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you to be sanctified, meaning to be made holier and holier day by day, so that you will be more like the new status that you have before God. God already sees you righteous. Your status is already changed from being a sinner to being a saint. When God sees you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. But you need to partner with the Holy Spirit so that you will be more and more like your new status. And that takes a lot of hard work, that takes a lot of commitment, and that takes a lot of sacrifice. And I know you can do it because God will help you through His Holy Spirit. And finally, remember, there will come a day where God Himself will wipe away all the tears from our eyes, a day where there will be no more deaths, no more sickness, a day where we will be safe in full, for sure, for real. That's the day when we finally get to spend our eternity with God forever and ever, where there will be no more sin, no more effect of sin, because the presence of sin will be wiped away for good. So right now, I want to pray for you. If you're not a Christ follower, I want you to follow after me this very simple prayer. It's not a magical prayer, but I believe God looks at your heart. If you mean what you say, if you have faith, no matter how small, that God really, really loves you, and you believe that, that Jesus died on the cross for you, and no matter how small your faith is, you believe that, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to follow after me. And when you pray this prayer and you mean it, guess what? God will give you eternal life right now. You will be saved right now, and no one can take that away from you, okay? So why don't you repeat after me? Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your free gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that eternal life is now mine forever, and no one can take that away from me. Not because I'm good, but because you have been good for me. Now, help me to follow you all the days of my life so that I can be a good witness for you, so that I can fulfill your purpose for me in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer, the Bible, Jesus himself, guarantees that you are already in possession of eternal life. Because eternal life is what you get when you put your faith in Jesus, when you put your faith in God. And if you are a Christian, I want you to continue to partner with the Holy Spirit. I want you to take your Christian walk seriously. I know you are already saved and no one can take that away from you, but your effectiveness here on earth, the quality of your life here on earth, the quality of the community that you live in will depend on how much you are willing to be more like Christ wherever God has placed you. My prayer for you is that you will continue to grow in your faith. If you don't already have a church home, we want to invite you to come to our church if you live in Perth, or find a church where you live, where you can be dedicated, where you can grow, where you can serve, so that you can continue to grow in your salvation. God bless you. I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.